Welcome back
in our new yoga pit, and a happy new year, everybody. We have in India we have many new years, and today actually is a worldwide new year because it's a summer solstice. Summer solstice. How do you say summer solstice in Kako?
Solstice.
Okay, that's not that complicated. Okay, that's yeah. So it's the longest day. It's the longest day. To be completely precise, it's the longest 3 days. But today is the day, and it's one of the rare solstices. Apparently, in this century, there are two solstices that also overlap with the eclipse, sun eclipse. So today is the first. Every year we have 4 eclipses, but today we already have had. So no worries, you have survived. It's already, this is schon vorbei. This is already behind us. If you have survived so far. Huh? Side effects, yes. Yes, you have been singing very nicely to protect the world from the possible negative effects. Yes. At any rate, it's the many places it's considered one of the main New Years, or one of the New Years, and it's of the second half of the year. Tropically, it's the southern. The sun starts moving south, so the next half a year, it's not good to die. So if you were hesitating, then next half a year you wait. Unless you chant nicely, then it doesn't matter. You can die any time. But then, if you chant nicely, then it also doesn't matter if you live continuously. Also, so today this is Amavasya, the new moon. Also, so it's Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day on this new moon, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's also disappearance day. And the song we usually sing before. Thank you, sir. Our lectures actually is composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Jayaradha Madhava, describing Vrindavan, different deities, different places. And these are actually, somebody explained to me that these are different deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur from his different places. all the names from this little song is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jayaradha Madhava. So we usually sing as a meditation on Vrindavan. There is one of a few recordings of Srila Prabhupada with this song, when he sings this song, Jai Radha Madhava, and he goes into trance, he goes into ecstasy, because he meditates on Vrindavan and he goes into ecstasy. There is one other when he comes to, I think, Atlanta, Georgia. He says, Gornitai are so merciful. They are so merciful, they give so much mercy to you, and then he breaks into tears. He just meditates on how kind is Gornitai, and he breaks into tears. It's like maybe 2 or 3 recordings where Srila Prabhupada goes into ecstasy. So one of those is connected with this song. Don't worry, no danger here. I'm not going to go into ecstasy so easily. Unless you give me some super strong blessings, then who knows? You know, Krishna is capable of Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an amazing personality in many regards. Whichever aspect of his life you take, it's very impressive. Like, for example, the fact that he has published more than 100 books, and we are reading many of these books all around the world. He is the pioneer who has revived Chaitanya Vaishnavism, And basically he started this all around the world. He's the pioneer of this worldwide preaching. Can you put on one verse on Jagannath Sutta? He is also a self-made man. He has gotten his education, he's gotten his position, then he became a magistrate. He was a judge, magistrate like a judge in a in a court in Orissa, so in Puri. Then Krishnanagar, he applied. Orissa is the capital. Is it capital? No, Bhuvaneshwar is the capital, right, of Orissa. So, but Puri is one of the most famous places in India and almost the world. Yesterday, many of you were in Rijeka pulling three residents of Jagannath Puri, spreading super fake. At least people at least have seen somebody from Jagannath Puri, if not knowingly, then unknowingly. And in general, he's the personification of one interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I have a friend who sometimes goes around and he is testing. He says, "Did you read Bhagavad Gita?" "Yes, yes, I have read." Then he asks, "Did you study Bhakti Shastri?" And I think by today we already have probably 10,000 Bhakti Shastri graduates. Maybe last time I asked was about 10 years ago. We had 5,000. So by today, it's I should ask, but I think it's near 10,000 Bhakti Shastri graduates. That means you have to know Bhagavad Gita. Then he asks, which verse in the Gita indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita? Ha-ha. And or where does Prabhupada says that this verse indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita? Okay. So let's put you on the spot. Who has read the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Who has studied Bhakti Shastri? Okay, it's scary, huh? You did. Okay, now, which verse, Prabhupada says, indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita? Good, but no. This is the, Prabhupada says, the last word, the ultimate word of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the same one, yes. Good, but no. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, correct. This one is similar, but no, it's another one. If you don't know, it's not so easy. Ah, you know? No, no. You would never have guessed. In the beginning, this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a trick, okay, but but it's there. So what is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita? So Krishna says, "Mayi sarvani karmani." You know the meaning. Mayi means to me, Krishna. Sarvani means all. Karmani, work, activities. Sannyasya, renounce. Adhyatma chetasa, with transcendental consciousness. So he immediately prevents misunderstanding. Immediately he says, surrender them, take sannyas, but with your consciousness. Renounce all your activities to me, but in your consciousness. Not externally, but internally. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. So the translation is, therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Hare Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a perfect personification of this verse, which indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Did he fight? Yes. Yesterday we put one lecture Prabhupada gives on Bhaktivinoda Thakur in London, 73. So there he gives one story how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was fighting. So there was, as he was a magistrate, judge in Puri, then somebody came to him and said, there is a guy here, he says he's God, Maharishnu. Not only that, he takes women in the night to dance with them, married women, and I don't remember exactly how he collected, how he sent out the invitations. So can you check out this guy? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took a few policemen, police constables. Hare Krishna. Nowadays we don't know what's a constable. Do you know what's a constable? A policeman. And Prabhupada says they went not in uniforms, like in ordinary dress. They found this guy, his name was Bisaki Sen. And so as soon as they came, this man immediately turned to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose born name was Kedarnath, and he said, "Oh Kedarnath, you are such a great devotee of me. I'm so happy with you. I will bless you and I will make you a king." Or the king of, I forgot of what, Orissa or something. Some sufficient amount of a good sized kingdom. So what would you do if you went somewhere and somebody said, "I will make you a king"? Does it sound good or no? I don't really much know what's a king nowadays. Okay, if he said, "I'll make you a prime minister or a president of Slovenia." Sounds good, no? You can probably introduce some good laws, yeah? Help. So then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he started speaking to him, and he said, "Sir, I heard you are practicing some unusual things. You're dancing with girls and women in the night. Why don't you come with me to Puri, to Jagannath Puri? Let's go to the temple and take audience of the deities." So as Bisaki Sen said, "Oh Kedarnath, Jagannath is wooden, is made of wood, but I am God in person. He is from Buddha, but I am the real one." That was enough. So immediately Bhaktivinoda Thakur turned to the policeman and said, "Arrest him." Arrest him. And they brought him to the prison, they put him in prison. That Prabhupada tells this story in that lecture. Because he immediately shows that he didn't study Bhakti Shastra. At least before you declare yourself God, you know, read the book, you know. We had one guy I was told that in Baku, Azerbaijan, some guy came to the temple and said, "I'm very happy how you are worshipping me. Good boys, good girls, yes." And "Yes, I'm Krishna," he said. So the temple president immediately said, "Oh, if you are Krishna, we are very happy with your book, Bhagavad Gita." I said, "Yeah, yes, good, you are studying, very nice." So he said, "Since you have spoken it and inspired Srila Prabhupada to write commentaries, could you kindly recite..." I forgot which chapter he requested. I think he asked him an easy one, chapter 15, if I remember correctly. "Can you please recite chapter 15 with the purports?" And He couldn't. So then I said, sorry, it doesn't look like you are Krishna. So they arrested him and they threw him in jail. But what happened, immediately Bhaktivinoda Thakur got high fever, and his whole family got a high fever, and they were very sick, very, very sick. So some people were saying that you should release him because you may die. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let me die, but I will put him in prison. Because he's a rascal. He's cheating people. He's cheating people. Pretending to be somebody he's not. And also giving shame to the name of Vaishnavism. So then he was sick, and people were afraid, because so in the book it says that he was some kind of mystic, this Bhisakesan. He had some mystic powers. He could read your mind a little bit, read your thoughts. And so they say that he was doing some dirty black magic in prison. He would use salt as fire and his hair as offering. So he was doing some, you know, voodoo, you know, sacrifice. Not to be imitated. Do you know this joke about the guy calling, picking up the phone, and his relative is saying, did you ever feel like somebody is doing voodoo on you? Like sticking needles into your into the doll made in your image? No, never. How about like this? And now? So, not to be, I mean, this is obviously tamasic, not to be done, and there will always be a reaction. So, this guy was attacking Bhaktivinoda Thakur with this black magic, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur continued. And there was one British officer who read a lot about yogis, so he heard that they keep their power in hair, in their hair. So he, when this yogi was in the courtroom, he jumped next to him and he took scissors and cut off his hair. And this Bhisakesan immediately collapsed, fainting. And then after a few days, he took poison and killed himself. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur completely recovered, his family completely recovered, everybody recovered, everybody was... So you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not afraid to fight for the truth and perform his duties. Oftentimes we have different ideas about yoga and spiritual life. We think that spiritual life is inactivity, being inactive, not to do any work, or not to do any normal work, or to break social norms. So you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was ideal in every regard. In fact, one of British officers, before dying, he came to India, and you know, 150 years ago, it meant traveling for months and months. So he came to India just to request Bhaktivinoda Thakur's forgiveness before dying. See, he said, "I thought that if we have many Indians like you, then the British Empire will not be able to colonize India anymore." So British were exploiting India a lot. I think recently some Indian said that India should get reparations from Great Britain for how many? 23 trillion or something. He calculated how much gold, jewels, and everything they took out. But actually, it's impossible to calculate, because in some places, very large section was dying of hunger, mismanagement, and so forth, by some improper economic taxation. Even Muslims didn't tax people indiscriminately, like the British imposed their taxes on India. So he wanted to apologize to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for thinking like this about him. So he was very impressed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a superman. He was a superman. If you read his schedule, have you seen his schedule? Daily schedule? Yeah. So he went to bed. Where is it? I think you can turn it off. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. He went to bed around 8 p.m. and he would sleep for about 2 hours. And then for about 6 hours he would write in the night. He would write. Then in the from 4 he would chant japa. Then at 7 he would write letters for half an hour. You know, like your emails in the morning. 7:30 he would read for 1 hour, so study. Then 8:30, if there were guests, he would receive guests in the morning. If no, then he would continue reading for another hour. Then again he would take rest from 9:30 to 9:45. At 9:45, this looks intriguing. This is what he had for 9:45. Morning bath, breakfast of a half quart milk. Half quart, this is like 200, like big cup. Milk, couple of chapatis and some fruits. So morning bath and breakfast. 9:45, yes. 9:55, go to court in carriage. Hare Krishna. 10 minutes, huh? Then 10, the court began until 1. So 3 hours court. 1 p.m., he would come back home, take bath, and refresh. 1 hour. 2 p.m., go back to court. Another 3 hours in court. So 6 hours work. And they were saying that he would be super fast. Some cases which would normally take weeks and months for some people, he would immediately quote some paragraph and some article, and he would solve within minutes to everybody's satisfaction. He would make a decision. So 6 hours he was working, and he would work very effectively. He would both effectively and efficiently. So he would go through hundreds of cases, basically, very quick. You know, and also precise and based on the law. So everybody was very impressed by how sharp he was and effective he was in his work. So also materially he was very appreciated. Everybody was happy with him materially, in the material sense. Then 5 p.m. he comes back to translate. And write in Bengali from 5 to 7, yes. And then from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. bath, prasadam, again half quart milk, rice and 2 chapatis, and then sleep. So he would sleep for about 3 hours, right? 8.5 hours. Japa and study, almost 5 hours. And then work, 6 hours. So that's very impressive. And again, it's not that he was a slave to the schedule or to a clock or something. He was, like, he would take a sabbatical for 1 year and he would go all around Bengal to do the Namahata program. He would print Nama Bhajan, I think the book was called, Nama Bhajan. He would sing, and he would start many Namahatas around Bengal very effectively. He would print many books. But in general, his biography is very impressive. So if you read one of the first biographies that you can read is the Seventh Goswami. Anybody read the Seventh Goswami? You have read Seventh Goswami? It's even there in our Veda base. You can read. So, well-researched book. I think already we have three or four different books about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We have some even doctoral theses on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think Krishna Abhishek did doctoral thesis on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So you can read. Also, we have his own Svalikita Jivani, his own biography. And if you read, it may be confusing sometimes because it shows how he is a very successful modern man. He is well-educated, he is materially successful, and he is interested in philosophy, in literature. It says who he is reading, different authors, and his philosophical search. And then he was curious about Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he was searching. He was an author. He published his big poem, Poriyat. I think this was about Porus, who was fighting with Alexander, right? So-called the great. So-called great. Maybe great, I don't know. He's somewhat great, okay. Somewhat great. How you call Alexander? Really, yes. Macedonian. Would he be allowed in Slovenia nowadays on the border? No? They have a quarantine, right? Okay. Those days, he okay. Anyway, in India, he couldn't go far. Also, anyway, that's a separate story. So that was about those times. Before he became a devotee, he wrote this poem, big poem. He wrote several other books, researches. And then he was curious about Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he wanted to read it, and it took him 8 years to find one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can see the glory of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son, and Srila Prabhupada, because now you just look here. Doesn't take 8 seconds. It's already here in many languages. And if not, it's in everybody's pocket on the internet, right? In many languages, you can read. But he had to search for it for 8 years. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is a little philosophical, there is some philosophy. So he read Chaitanya Charitamrita and he was really impressed. But in his diary he writes, I was deeply moved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example. I could see that this is an extraordinary personality. But I couldn't understand, he writes, why did he say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So it was easier for him to accept Chaitanya, maybe Vishnu and Narayan. But Krishna, he wasn't quite sure. So then he says, then I was praying and meditating and praying and studying and reading and meditating. And then it was revealed to me. So he understood, sort of, he got, by his sincerity, he got the understanding. Because Krishna is... he has all the sweetness. He's Akhila Rasa Amrita Sindhu. He's the personification of all the tastes and rasas. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his missions was to find manuscripts, find books, and print them, often with commentary. So our Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has the commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amrita Prabhabhasya. Then it has the commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, illustrious Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and of Srila Prabhupada. So it has three three commentaries. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 14 children. And one of them, Bhaktisiddhantaji, you can see he's another amazing personality who has laid the foundations of the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement. So we are the products of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, of Gadadhar's mercy, of Panchatattva's mercy, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mercy. So today is a good day to address, to ask him, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachit Adanda Namine Gora Shakti Saropaya Rupa Nuga Varayate. That's his pranama mantra. To ask, we can chant, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya. Sachit Ananda Namine. Gora Shakti Svarupaya. Rupanuga Varayate. So Rupanuga Varaya, the best of the followers of the eminent philosopher Rupa Goswami, disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gora Shakti Svarupaya, embodiment of Gauranga's Shakti, power, because you can see he did amazing things. And we are all here. We are products of his mercy. And the mercy is still flowing through the Guru Parampara. And he is eager to give more and more mercy. So we are very lucky. We have many sources of mercy. Srila Prabhupada says that the father is very merciful. And the father and mother, the parents are very merciful, but the grandparents and grandfather is even more merciful. And if you happen to have a great-grandfather, then he's even more merciful. It was the story how one, who was it, Shrutakirti, who made some halwa for Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and he used some very funny ingredients. Not the semolina, but he used some, was it maize? From maize. Kuruza. You know, this. He used something funny. And he brought it for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, what is this? He said, this is halwa. He said, take it away. So he was crushed. He went out. Then he looked at the picture of Bhaktisiddhantaji and he said, oh, I'm sorry. And then he hears ding, 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 ding. Prabhupada is calling him. He said, yes, Prabhupada. Okay, give it here. And Prabhupada explained that the grandfather is more merciful, probably, sort of. Bhaktisiddhantaji gave the inspiration to God. Come on, take it, you know. Okay. Is it Shrutakirti who tells this story? Yeah? Yeah, many stories. So, today is a good day to pray for mercy and to try to join in spreading mercy. So they all request help to give out mercy. It's a very good position to join as the authorized distributor, authorized agent of the big company. So it's a big company with a very successful stock. The boss is Nityananda Mahajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am the sweeper on this market. And he says, the treasury is Srimad Bhagavatam. Treasure, the bhandara, the storehouse is Srimad Bhagavatam. And what we are selling the holy name, pure holy name. And now there is a special promotion, Sonderangebot und Hammerangebot, you know, that buy one, get infinite. Pay for one, get unlimited. Because you buy one name, and they give you the name, and give you back your money. And if you, so you can join as a distributor, you know, and then, the only requirement that you should take the correct currency. But in this market, even if somebody comes with fake money, counterfeit money, they give you the shadow of the holy name. So if on Sunday feast, if for example Lit Govinda Prabhu gives you the shadow of the ice cream, it's not very, it's nice. You can probably take a picture and brag on Facebook. But it's not so nice. It's the real thing, right? But because the holy name is so powerful, Namabhas does amazing things. Namabhas can give you everything in this world up to the spiritual, up to Vaikuntha. Even for fake money. For the counterfeit money. But if you bring the real money, then they give you the name and then give you back your money. You can buy more. And enjoy and distribute. So that's a very good proposition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he began this program, Namahata. He wrote a beautiful book, Gudruma Kalpa Tavi. Gudruma Kalpa Tavi. The land of wish-fulfilling trees. Wish-fulfilling desire trees. It's a magic forest. Magic forest. India Koromandia. with everything. Ima Svashta. Sounds very, very nice. And the price is, the entry price, pure name, is Shraddha. Shraddha. If you just offer Shraddha, faith, Shuddha Nama, Shraddha Mulya. The price of one pure name is Shraddha. And pure name, faith. And pure name can lead us very quickly to ecstatic love for Krishna. So that's an ideal example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how he has done everything. He was super successful in every area. He was very prominent writer. He was a prominent judge. He was a prominent social figure. He was a prominent Vaishnava organizer, can say, leader. He's the head of our continuing sampradaya. He has sort of purified our sampradaya from all kinds of deviations, describing all misunderstandings, philosophical and practical misunderstandings of our philosophy. So he's a philosopher. He's a very wonderful grihastha. So in every regard, you can see that he was amazing. So you can go to Gudruma. So he moved from Puri. He wanted to be in Mayapur. So his house is there. So much so that Gorkishore Das Babaji, one of the most amazing saints, was attracted to come daily for his Krishna Katha discussions. And he would join their lectures in Gudrumadip. It's on the other side of Jalangi. Who has been to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house? Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So there is an infinite ocean of mercy. And one teeny drop of it is enough to drown the whole universe in bliss. One drop is enough to drown the universe in bliss. And what's the price? To get a drop of a drop. What's the price? You get it, you tell me. Hare Krishna. Okay, some comments, questions? Somebody would like to add some stories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Yes, if you come on. Why no? It was. You can see here. It's just a second. Where is it? Just a second. You can see 9:45 to 9:55. I'm joking. I'm kidding. Well, first of all, yes, thank you. That's a good point. First of all, this schedule is not his lifelong schedule. Doesn't mean he did this his whole life. Also, he was super efficient and effective, but you can see that even in this super precise schedule, there is some flexibility built in. Like, for example, if there are guests, he gives 1 hour to the guests. But if there are no guests, he has something else planned. So it's also a little bit flexible. So I understand he was not dogmatically following just the dead letter of some schedule. And plus, it was not always that he was following. He was not always doing this work of a magistrate. Actually, for the last, I understand, 11 years, he was in samadhi. He was just chanting. So this was his schedule from Puri. From Krishnanagar, it was different. I don't know exactly that, but this survived from Puri, just as an example of how amazingly organized he was. But just looking at his children, you can see that they turned out very well adjusted and happy, and they didn't seem to be unloved, neglected, right? The price of the holy name. So, is it just Shraddha, or is there this lalasa and lobha, greed, intense desire? Yeah, it's actually, for me, it was a big discovery to find out the actual price, because we are often scared of the price, you know, when we see the, I think in the early years it was usually understood that I remember these discussions. Somebody said, when can you chant holy name, pure holy name? At bhava. Somebody says, okay, maybe ruchi, pure taste. At least definitely after anartha nivritti, definitely. But then you go to the actual text and it says just shraddha actually is the price. So what is the price? Lobha or greed, intense desire, this is the price for Vrindavan. Burijan Prabhu is making this joke. What is the price of the ticket to Vrindavan? You remember? He says, everything. That's the price. You give everything. That's the price. And even more. But okay, at least everything. Hare Krishna, Chakra Vadar. But this is Vrindavan. This is the idea of Vrindavan Bhakti, Vraja Bhakti, and Raga, Raga Nuga Sadhana. Sadhana which is motivated by intense greed and taste. And Shraddha, you can hear some of the early lectures of Srila Prabhupada in the 60s, like 67, 68 in New York. He says that all of you boys and girls have already chanted at least one pure name. So your sins are finished, he says. So it means that if you are able, so I think most of you remember, you know, that day, that time, when you really, really felt the taste, and you were really, really chanting sincerely, you were really, really thinking about Krishna, and you experienced something. There's no doubt. You know it's Krishna. You didn't have to have any confirmation. You knew it's Krishna. It's mind-boggling. It's astounding. The problem is that then, you know, it's called anishtita bhajana. You know, it's not fixed, not steady. So we need to bring it back, fix again our mind on Krishna. But at least we gain some experience. We collect, you know, penny, one penny to another penny, then little by little you collect enough. The full price list is that Shraddha is one holy name. Then Nishta, this is Rupa Yukta Nama, the name which also reveals to you the transcendental form of Krishna. Ruchi is for Ruchi. So he explains, it's very interesting, that it was, yeah, so 1 paisa, 1/64th of a silver rupee. 1 paisa. So one cent. Not cent, cent is 100. That's the new system. That was when 1 rupee had 64 paisas. 16 shillings. 1 pound had 16 shillings. And 1 shilling had 4 pence. Correct? Krishna, Krishna. So then four paisa was nishta. Then you get the form. Then 8 is... Ruchi, you can understand the qualities of Krishna and feel the name reveals Krishna's qualities to you. And then double that is asakti, so this is half rupee, half a silver rupee. Rupee means a silver coin. So this is asakti, intense attraction. Asakti. And then 1 silver coin, 1 rupee, this is bhava. Bhava. And just recently I figured out what is prema. So it turns out it's 1 golden coin, which is called mohar. Mohar, and you can Google the picture, it looks nice and golden. And I found that 1 golden mohar was 15 silver rupees. So for bhava you get your ticket to Krishna Lila, and for prema you are there, you can actually go. For bhava they give you the confirmation and reservation, and for prema they can enter, can already enter. So these are, it's good explained in Gudruma Kalpatami, the whole price list. But at least Shraddha, come on. Can't we at least, you know, once in a while, at least once every few, whatever, weeks, months, at least once a year, you know, scratch together 1 paisa and hear one name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, that sounded good. Okay, anything else? Yes?
Was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was the last child of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Or?
I think not, but I don't know exactly which number he was. Yeah. A few years ago, on the centennial of Bhaktisiddhantaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, devotees have produced the award-winning Wikipedia article on them. So it was put in on the main page of Wikipedia, and I think it's gotten the Golden Star. One was some devotees have prepared the best article, and I think it's gotten a Golden Star. So they have researched very nicely. I think you can find the precise details there. Yes. Okay. So what is the purpose of, which verse indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita? Dear?
Surrender.
No. The one on the screen, huh? That one. Oh, yes. Correct. What was the number? 330. Yes, 330. Sarva karmani, mai sarvani karmani, sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. All the works surrender unto me. Nirashir nirmamo, yudhyasva vigatajora. So giving up attachment to profit, proprietorship, and give up lethargy and fight. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us the perfect example of this spiritual warrior. Yes, we had just a few days ago had Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja's disappearance day, yeah? Who wrote how many spiritual warriors? 5 or 6. Yeah. It's popular. So we all have our battles. Doesn't mean everybody has to fight, but at least we need to go to Krishna. Acting in such a way that Krishna is pleased and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pleased. So definitely, just our being here pleases Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He would be so happy to see all of you. Not would, he is. He is so happy that we are all here. But if we try a little bit to chant nicely and spread his mercy, he is even more happy. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.